We hope you enjoy this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful. So grateful for who you are, that you've called us to live a life we don't deserve. And yet, you say, yes, I choose you. Yeah. And I choose you over and over and over. Because I love you. And if you only understood the plans and purposes that were on your life. This morning, Lord, I pray that we would get a glimpse into who you are. That today each of us would say, God, we're coming at you with our whole heart, different spirit. We want to serve you, Jesus. In a world that's desperate for you, God, let us keep the main thing the main thing. Speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a Bible high five. Thank you to our creators. Can we thank our creative team who are just exceptional, exceptional. Okay, can we thank our creative team who are just... I know you wanted to do that, but you were busy chatting. Well, good morning. What a week. We're in for a phenomenal week. Limitless. Our conference is coming up. And, you know, Pastor Steve's brilliantly been speaking about doing a teaching series on different spirit. I don't know, church, every week I'm like, different spirit. Have you walked out of here feeling the same? Different spirit. I'm a person with a different spirit. I believe our church is called to be a church with a different spirit, filled with people with a different spirit. Yep, there's obstacles. Yep, there's challenges. Yep, the storms happen. But God, we see you and we trust you in it. And we live out of conviction and not convenience, not what culture tells us. Yeah. I remember years ago, you know, when there was the financial crisis and, you know, the banks were lending, some of the banks, not all of the banks, were lending people more money for their house than, you know, they could borrow like 110% of the property value or whatever. And I remember a little bank in the Midwest who just stuck to their conviction of, no, this is what we know to be true. You know, it's easy, listen to me, it's easy, even when we know we have wisdom from the Word of God and we're in church, it's easy to be caught up in the swell of culture and if it's working for them, I'm just going to jump over there. But this little bank, not a big bank, they just stuck to the conviction of what they knew to be great financial practice. And so when the GFC hit, or the financial crisis, you know, banks were doing, you know, merging and people losing their homes. And this little bank was just standing strong, not bragging on it, but just saying, you know, we just know what is true. And I believe that's what God's called us as believers. Culture's going to scream at us. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of things that are going to try and get us off course. Yeah. But a different spirit person goes, oh, no, good. I know God. I know what you've called me to, and I'm going for it. And nothing is taking me off course in Jesus' name. Amen? So I'm going to just speak. I just want to welcome our Seaboard campus and our online audience. Good morning. It's so great to have you here. And I'm going to be adding a little component to what Steve has so brilliantly already talked about. I also thought, you know, in worship, we were seeing this power in the name of Jesus. That was phenomenal, wasn't it? Power in the name of Jesus, like the presence of God. And I don't know, but I think there's a couple people here and the storms are coming at you thick and fast. And it can almost make you feel defeated, like the devil is after you and there's just no relenting of it. And I just want to say to you, I want to remind you, there is power in the name of Jesus. Everything bows, everything. The storm, the crisis, the enemy, everything bows at the name of Jesus. And as believers, let's stand up and declare Jesus. I want you this week, if that's you, I want you to sing it loud. I don't care if you can sing or not sing. God don't care. Just shout that name. I did this in the first service and forgot to take it off in a second. You declare, there's power in the name of Jesus. Storm, you will go. Crisis, you will vanish. No, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. That's just a little bit for free, just there. Because I just think, you know what? I need to be reminded of that too. We're human. We live in a world. It's chaotic. It's crazy. Sometimes living the Christian life, it's hard. Really, really hard. And that's why gathering of you know, being in church and being in a faith community. People are beside you just going, you got this, girl. You got this, boy. Man, son, daughter, whatever your age is, whatever your demographic is. It's not like we get to a certain age, oh, we're done with being in church. We've been there, done that. No, we've never been there, done that. We need to be part of a body of believers. Okay. And I say that because there is almost a, I hate to say it, crisis of people that are just like not wanting to be in church. And I just believe God's looking with people with a different spirit, wholehearted. Wholehearted. All right, so Numbers 14, 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, listen, I will bring him, this is what the word says, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. The thing about different spirited people and people that follow Jesus with their whole heart is this overflows into your descendants, your family. The generations that come after you that you haven't even seen yet or even thought about are dependent on you. That we have a place in history to go, we got to step this up. We can't draw back. We can't get an attitude or let an offense take us out or bitterness. No, we got to run. And run hard and be quick to forgive and be quick to let go and have a sweet spirit but thick skin that goes, oh, that could have been an offense. I'm just going to let that go. See, a different spirited person trusts Jesus and his ways. See, it's one thing to trust Jesus. I can have faith in Jesus. But when my crisis comes and my prayer isn't being answered the way I think it should be answered, because after all, isn't God here to answer my prayer the way I want it? Our faith is not a faith based on me. My faith isn't a faith based on me, and yours isn't. It's not all about you. It's about the big picture that God has. Listen to what Isaiah says, 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Your ways aren't my ways. You can pray that way, but that's not, it's not going to happen like that. I'm not a slot machine. You don't put a penny in and boom, out comes the answer you want. It doesn't work like that. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. What I know for sure is, that my relationship with Christ is deepened and strengthened when I lean into him in the hardest of times. Yeah. The heartbreak, the massive disappointments, the betrayals, the confusion, the chaos. Lord Jesus, I gotta lean into you because I understand you see from a vantage point way different to me. Yeah. Okay, got it. Until the storm comes, right? Let me take you to see a family in the Bible where this outworks, something like it would outwork in my life, because I'd do exactly the same. But John chapter 11, Bible says this, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 3, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Not Lord, we just walked past a bystander, he needs you. Like, this is someone you know, you've been to his house for dinner, you've stayed at his home, you've done life with these people. We just want to let you know he's really sick. We need you to come. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. Like, okay, you would expect if your best friend knew you were sick, really sick, you'd expect them to show up ASAP, get in the car, Uber, do whatever you need to do to be there. Instead, Jesus goes, okay, just let me hang on now. I'm just going to wait 2 more days. I mean, what is going on here? And then it goes on to say, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. To which the disciples were like, well, if he's asleep, he's just going to wake up, right? Like,
What is going on?
Remember, his ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. His disciples, the ones he'd spent 3 years with, are still not getting it, just like you and I don't always get it. But let us go to him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Then down to verse 32. And this is where I see myself. And maybe you'll see yourself too. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, Mary had faith in Jesus. She knew that Jesus could make her brother well. What she didn't understand are that his ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. And in this moment, this was going to be the beginnings of Jesus' betrayal. He was going to perform a miracle here. And again, the Pharisees were going to get all up in arms over it. Who does he think he is? And whatever. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Can I tell you this morning? Nothing goes unnoticed in your life. Good. Nothing. Good. That this creator of the universe, you think about this, the creator of heaven and earth, came to earth in a human form, Jesus, and weeps alongside his friends. That's a pretty profound moment. The compassion he feels. That's where he's feeling the humanity. The things we feel, he feels because he's been there too. And this morning, some of you have heartbreak in your life. You don't understand it. It makes no sense. I want you to know Jesus weeps with you. His compassion, his mercy, his grace is extended to you. So then he goes on. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Isn't it true? I bet, you know, these few weeks you've gone to work or gone home or, you know, whatever, however you do life, whatever you do. And you've decided, I'm going to go in. I've got a different spirit. I'm going to have a Caleb spirit. I'm going to just, you know, go at it at work. I'm going to, you know, be super Christian. Well, not that, but you know what I'm saying. And as soon as you get there, the cynics start. Or something happens. Your boss yells at you worse than he's ever yelled or worse than she's ever yelled at you before. And you're just like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? I don't have a different spirit. I'm going to... And then the cynics start. See, what kind of Christian are you? I mean, really, if you talk about all this stuff about Jesus and look at you. God, I'm coming for you again. You're always going to have the cynic. What are you going to do? Give up? Just retreat? The beautiful thing about the Christian faith is that the gift and calling of God on your life is there forever. So wherever you are right now, whatever mistakes you made, whatever you're coming, walking into church with this morning, God loves you. Not only does he love you, but he has a call of God on your life. You need to remember that and remind yourself of that. But also the cynics are all part of life. Even as, and while we're doing life as believers, that I was saying in the 9 a.m. service, you know, the balcony of the cynic is always there in our life, right? Always. And the faces may change, but that cynical spirit is the same. I mean, who the heck does he think he is? He just marches right in. I mean, really, if he was the Son of God, he would have turned up and done it. He just would have healed him. I mean, rah, 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 rah. Jesus, once more deeply moved. He probably wanted to smack them all. I mean, geez, Louise. I mean, really. There would have been a little humanity, and there was humanity in Jesus. I bet he looked at them and thought, God, help me not sin right now. Came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. I don't know how many times I've told God how he should answer my prayer. I mean, if you just did it this way, and if this happened and that happened, oh, we're going to be good to go. I trust that Jesus can do what he promises to do. Sometimes I don't trust his ways. I have to remind myself that his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. And in this moment, these people who loved Jesus and knew Jesus had to go, God, we just believe. And this week, as we go into Wave Conference, church, can I implore you, do everything you can to come. God shows up in profound, significant ways. I don't want you to miss it. I really sense we are in for a powerful, profound time. I mean, I would be running to church, literally. And because I just hear that voice of Jesus saying, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Trust Jesus and trust his ways. Lord, I believe. I think about that man who wanted his, I think it was either his son or his daughter healed. And Jesus said, if you believe. And he said, Jesus, help me believe. Isn't there moments in our life? Help me, Jesus, believe. Help me. I so want to believe. Help me in my unbelief. He's like, I've got you. I got you. And he healed his daughter or son. Second thing, different spirited people are marked by humility. Marked by it. Marked by it. There's those people that you see, there's something different about them. You know, Steve mentioned, or did he mention this service? Maybe not, but this past week we went to Arlington National Cemetery and we went to the burial service of Norm Houston. Norm was a commander of a Navy SEAL team and just an outstanding man. And so we went to the cemetery for the service and it was just so honoring and just so fitting for who Norm was and is. And, you know, I was just glancing around the cemetery, and for those of you who've been, most of you probably have or done the tour, you might have been to a service there, but I just saw all the, I don't know if you call them gravestones or headstones, whatever, you know, the white, and it's quite an overwhelming scene, you know, when you're standing there, and I just felt very honored that we were able to be there and witness such a, just an incredible occasion, just of honor. But I looked at all of them and just imagined a person standing at each one because that's what that represents. And there's a sea of thousands upon thousands of men and women who have walked this life out with great humility, not looking for accolades, not looking for a platform, not looking to be a celebrity, just their belief in our nation and its people. You know, Norm was one of those guys. In fact, 20 years ago, we arrived at what was Church of the Redeemer. Norm and Sally, his beautiful wife, were there. Norm, you know, and they were area pastors. So what that meant was they helped us pastor our church, just in a lay position. They weren't on staff. And I remember back then, you know, that the cynical, the people in the you know, cynical balcony started, you know, when we started church. But Norm would come up alongside Steve and say, Steve, I believe in everything you're doing. Just humility, not, and he never, you know, when I found out he was a SEAL, I'm like, wow. Now I'm sure on the battlefield he was a little bit different. But when he walked around here, not pomp and ceremony, not trying to promote himself, not looking to be, just humility. This week we've got Steve Green from Hobby Lobby coming to Wave Conference. I pray and hope you get a front, run to get a seat. This man is, they're just an amazing family. And have built an incredible company. But what you'll notice about him, again, humility. Yeah. Not coming in saying, well, we're the this and that and that. He asks questions. He gives encouragement. Very simply being who God's called him to be. The thing is, humility isn't groveling. It isn't passive or silent. It means we use our gifts, talents, and capabilities under God's direction and leading, giving him honor and glory for what is accomplished in and through our lives. Wow, that's a breath of fresh air right there. Church, let's be people with a different spirit. Humble, just giving God honor. Look what the Lord has done. Number 3, different spirited people get God's attention. Look at what the Bible says about Caleb, Numbers 14:24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, different spirit, wholeheartedly, I will bring not him into the land he went to, but his family's coming as well. Having a different spirit sets generations up to do what God has called them to do. Look what the Bible says about King David, a man that most of us would have heard of. In Acts 13:22, the Bible says, after removing Saul, who was the previous king, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Wholehearted, follower of Christ. Church, would you like that said about you? Not that you got on this platform, not that you had celebrity status, you know, 2 million followers on Instagram. All those things are okay, I promise you. But that's not the aim of the game. The aim of the game is wholehearted follower of Christ. And when that happens, it's amazing how God's eye leans in towards those people. I remember 15 years ago, I met Marilyn Skinner. Her and Gary, Canadian couple, moved to Uganda. They went as missionaries, believed that God had put in their heart to plant a church. So they went. They got dropped off at a house with barely any furniture, couple of supplies, left. Boom. 3 kids. Wow, what do we do now? Hard. They tell the story how some people broke into their home, tied them up with electric cord, held a gun at Gary's head, tried to fire it 3 times, and it wouldn't go off. The guy that had the gun said, are you people Christians? They said, yes, we are. We love the Lord Jesus. They ran out of the house. Love it. I've watched them. They went to plant a church. God spoke to them and said, you need to take care of orphans. People are dying here with AIDS and the civil war that was happening. And so they moved in and just built these incredible homes. But it was hard. And Marilyn just thought, the kids sing brilliantly. We could do choirs, but how are we going to get them around the world? So she just called airlines and see if they could give her free tickets. And miraculously it happened, because they're people with a different spirit. And people with a different spirit who wholeheartedly follow Jesus, God is attentive to. And so we opened amazing doors. And now if you go to Uganda, there's a place filled with homes for these children and these, you know, they're training women in all different kinds of industry to help them earn money. Yes. I'm telling you, church. We're a church with a different spirit. Open your eyes at the possibility. What is God prompting to you? Are you living out of conviction? Fourth thing, I got to keep moving. People are consistent. Different spirited people are consistent. 5 times the Bible records that Caleb followed God wholeheartedly. But listen to what it says. It says, I was 40 when Moses sent me to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. My convictions. But my fellow Israelites, the other 10, there were 12 altogether, Joshua and I, we had a conviction about this, but the other 10, they just made the people melt in fear. Too hard, can't do that, too many obstacles, it's better here. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Church, what's the conviction of your heart? But listen, verse 10 says, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. See, Caleb had a conviction, God's going to take us in the promised land. But then he had to hang out with whiny, complaining Israelites for 40 years. And we get mad when God doesn't answer our prayer tomorrow. But God, you said this here, so that means tomorrow or next week it should happen. No, maybe it's going to take a couple of decades. We don't like that. Want to be yesterday. So he says, here I am today, 85. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out now, do battle as I was then. Man, different spirit. Yeah. I got this. I may be 85. What do you want? What do you want to look like? Well, not look like, but what do you want to, how do you, you know, because look like is relative, you know. But when you think about yourself at 85, what picture of yourself do you have? It's like, well, at 85, you expect this and this. No, at 85, I'm going to be fit. I'm going to be serving God. I'm going to be running my race. I'm going to be in my lane still. And those stuff is thrown at me. I won't be an old, grumpy, bitter, horrible grandma that the kids are like, we don't want to be with grandma. No, I'm going to be inspiring them and telling them about the good things the Lord has done. Amen. All right, number five, charging on. Different spirit of person sees obstacles as opportunities. Remember, 12 spies went in. Men of great leadership capacity. Moses didn't just go, okay, well, we'll just send you. No, these were leaders of each, from each tribe. Great men. 10 go, And only 2 go, see the possibility. Church, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling very challenged, very stirred about our church, about the people of God, that God's calling us and he's compelling us to rise, to press in, to lean in. God, I want to see your glory. God, I don't want to miss for a minute what you're going to do. Father, I want to live out of the conviction that you have placed in my heart. Caleb said, I see the obstacles too, but I know God's got this. You know, I have a new hero. She's 103. I've never met her, not my grandmother. My grandmother's 97. But she's 103 years old. And she took up running at the age of 100. Her name is Julia Hurricane Hawkins. Check out the screen.
Finally here tonight, who ever heard of a runner setting world records just a couple of years after taking up the sport? It turns out this beginner has plenty of life experience. At 103 years old, Julia Hawkins isn't slowing down. She's picking up the pace.
Julia Hawkins, gold medalist.
During this week's National Senior Games in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Hurricane Hawkins, as she's known, won gold in both the 50 and 100 meter races. That's not all. The sprinter set a new USA track and field record as the oldest woman to compete on an American track.
I hope I'm inspiring them to be healthy and to realize you can still be doing it at this kind of an age.
Hawkins is no stranger to breaking records. She started her running career at age 100 and quickly racked up 3 world records by 102, including in the 100-meter dash. She told reporters at the time she skipped her nap to make that race.
I thought it'd be neat to run at 100 and do the 100-yard dash.
Her training secret, gardening at her home in Louisiana. Hawkins says she competes to impress her family, but with this drive and a few world records under her belt, she's on track to impress many more people than that.
Isn't that beautiful? Don't you love her? I love her. 100 meters in 40 seconds. I'd be hard-pressed to do 100 meters in 40 seconds. She started running because she was a cyclist, and as she approached 100, just going up the hills, changing gears, got a little bit tricky. But she thought, you know what? It's what she says. I just love the just simplicity of her life. She said, you know what? When I'm out in the garden gardening, and if the phone rings inside, I can run inside. So I could probably run. Isn't that awesome? What obstacles do you face that are really opportunities? I mean, she never thought that she'd be on the news at 103, but she's inspiring people. Because so often we live with this, well, my age. I can't do it because of my age. Or my status, or my background, or my race, or this, or that, or this, or that. Maybe it's issues in our heart, addictions, and, you know, unforgiveness, bitterness. I don't know. You know, all of us put limits on ourselves, and God says, no. People with a different spirit see the opportunity. Friend, I don't know where you sit right now with God, but I'm telling you, his calling is on your life. Thank you. His calling is on your life. Don't for a minute think God's forgotten, God doesn't care,
I'm telling you, if we parted heaven this morning, he'd be cheering, go, I got you, I got you. Different spirit. It's not obstacles, friend, opportunities. I believe we're going to move into a way we're just seeing supernatural miracles. Because a company of people with a different spirit, God, we're just sold out for you. We trust you. So this morning, where are you in relationship to Jesus? Do you love him with your whole heart? Everything within you? Is it only, always only Jesus? Or is he just kind of there as a convenience maybe? Well, you know, I do church and that, but, you know, I got this, you know, thing on the side. I like to do that too. A friend, he's calling us and asking us for whole heart, all of everything. So I want to challenge all of us this morning. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as the Lord and Savior of your life? The one who has called you. The one who has a life you don't deserve, full of amazing opportunities. Oh yeah, there'll be obstacles. But I promise you, if you trust Jesus and his ways, you'll be blown away how he walks you, walks out your life. Friend, where do you sit? I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up. In fact, we're all just going to pray a prayer with you. But I want to ask you, each of you, do you know him personally? The friend that sticks closer than a brother. Maybe you were raised in church, you've known about him, but you've never made a commitment to go, okay, I'm all in. God, I'm all in my relationship with you. Or maybe you once knew him, you kind of gone away. And you're saying to me this morning, Sharon, if you just knew the decision, the choices I made, again, I want to remind you, the gift and calling of God is on your life. He says, pick yourself up, we're going to start again. Maybe you've never heard the message about knowing Jesus. You've walked in here this morning and gone, well, wow, I kind of hear what you're talking about, but I never knew I could know him personally. What you mean the creator of the earth wants to have a relationship with? Oh yeah, he sent his son Jesus to die for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you in a moment to put your hand up if that's you. And if that's you this morning, can you just lift your hand right now and say, Sharon, could you pray for me? I want to know Jesus. God bless you, sweetheart. I see those two hands right there. I see that hand over there. Anyone else this morning? I see that hand there. Just give me a wave. I see your hand up there. Anyone else this morning? I can see your hand. Anyone else this morning? Just give me a wave. I see your hand. Anyone else this morning? Say, I want to know Jesus. The way you talked about him, I see you. Anyone else this morning? I'm telling you, your life will never be the same. Anyone else this morning, my last call, do you want to know Jesus as your Lord, your Savior? Anyone else? Fantastic. Can we congratulate all those people this morning? Fantastic. Today is the best day of your life. It all changes. Someone who's going to stick closer than a brother. With you heart and soul through the thick and the thin. Let's pray together. Those of you who lifted your hand, we're going to pray this prayer. Good news is everyone's going to pray with you. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. And right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Thank you for forgiving my sin. And thank you that today I walk out of here a Christian. Christ in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Sharon at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.